Welcome to On the Bench. This is Brendan Sinone. I've got a special edition of Josh and Josh. It's going to be Josh Newberg and myself interviewing Josh Storms. That's right. We have Josh Storms, FSU's Director of Strength and Conditioning. He is the S&C coach. He is the lifeblood of the program. And we're really fortunate to get Coach Storms on because he's really taking the charge and helping guide FSU through uncertain times. I mean, every college football program is dealing with this uncertainty right now of this pause of student athletes and players not being around the program. And he's really transparent and forthcoming about how that's impacting FSU's attempt to get guys where they want them to be physically, the mental conditioning aspect of it. I really enjoyed having Coach Storms on. He also goes into his philosophy of building a strength and conditioning program, from what he wants to do philosophically with like getting guys in shape, to how he implements things to fall in line with what Coach Mike Norvell wants, to how he hires his staff. It's really intricate and detailed and elaborate, and I think you're going to really enjoy Coach Storm's perspective on this. He also has a little bit of fun with us as well. So I'll get to that in a minute. This is like my fifth time recording the intro. Skype has been acting all wonky today. Josh Newberg did say to not apologize though. So I'm not apologizing. I'm just letting you guys know we're dealing with some stuff. And before we get to that, I do want to give a quick shout out to Tally Mac Shack. They are doing legitimately unique, good, delicious macaroni and cheese. I love going to that their food truck whenever I'm at Deep Brewing. Obviously, I've been able to get out in a little while, but when I am out on a Sunday night and getting a beer, I like to blend it with the Tally Mac Shack because they do really interesting creations and fun things with macaroni and cheese. Can't go wrong with beer and mac and cheese, right? So follow them at Twitter or on Twitter. It's at Tally Mac Shack. They have the same handle for Instagram and Facebook as well. Like I said, really good stuff, and they're being very cognizant and conscientious of how they're preparing their food and being safe. And they're doing they have Uber Eats, Bite Squad that they'll deliver to your home. I'm making sure I got my notes right, so they'll have those to deliver to you. If you do go out, please be safe. They have curbside pickup. They have open truck delivery process. The jingles you're hearing in the background is Willie making noise. And they also have a deal with Register Sausage where they're going to be doing the sausage stimulus package where they're going to be help getting that that product out in grocery stores relatively soon. So again, Tally Mac Shack, really awesome product. If you're going to be going out, be safe and do support local businesses when you do so. Enough for me. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And then on the other side, we're going to have Josh Storms coming up. Again, I think you guys are really going to enjoy it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Coach Storms, welcome to On the Bench. How's it going?
Good morning, guys. How you doing, man? We're doing awesome today.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm doing awesome.
Great
as well.
Great to have you.
Yeah, we're excited for this. So before we get into kind of some of the stuff that you've been doing with players through the offseason, Coach, I want to get your thoughts on, for someone like myself who's not in fantastic shape, not in awful shape, what are like some home workouts that you would suggest to kind of ease my way back into getting in shape while kind of stuck at home here?
You know, I've told a few people this right now. You know, this definitely isn't the time to overthink your fitness journey. Step one is accept the fact that doing something's going to be better than doing nothing. So the first thing to do is, man, you got to get up off that couch, get out and do something. I mean, go for a walk. You know, you want to make that a little bit harder, find a hill in your neighborhood, you know, walk some good reps up and down that hill, get a good sweat going, and then just make that consistent and build from there. You know, if you guys want to get back in better shape, it's all about building habits that will take you down the road to being in better shape. So first thing I do is start that habit, and then guarantee you, you know, day 100 is going to be better than day one.
Coach, is someone that is working hands-on with players in their normal job, these are not normal days. So how hard is this for you to not be able to interact with these guys one-on-one every single day?
Yeah, I'll be honest. It's awful. You know, I mean, the number one reason, you know, I do this job is the opportunity to work with these guys and build the relationships. And, you know, it's like having a group of, you know, 100 little brothers that you get to go interact with every day. And also now, you know, you don't have that. And there's nothing like getting in that weight room and having a group of guys, you know, blowing that whistle and moving forward towards a common goal. And right now, you know, you don't get that. So it's a lot of individual management and a lot of online coaching, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking of relationships, when you've been with Mike Norvell for 8 years now, when did you know that you and Mike were going to team up? Like, when did you know that you were going to kind of have this career together, move forward together?
You know, when Coach Graham's staff came into Arizona State in 2012, you know, he brought a lot of really good coaches along with him. And Mike was a guy that, you know, I got along with pretty well right from the start. There were some opportunities that arose at the end of that first season that he ultimately passed on. But as we led up to that, you know, we had some conversations about the future and whatnot. So kind of, you know, a good team. And it was just a matter of eventually, you know, him eventually finding a spot that he felt was the best fit.
You've been with him this whole time. It's an intense job. It's, you know, high pressure. What is it about your two personalities that allow you to coexist like this for so long and be so productive together?
You know, I think at the end of the day, I think our moral compass of how a program should be run, and most importantly, the reason why we do what we do, is very, very much in line. You know, you hear Coach talk about, you know, service, sacrifice, and respect a lot. And when we talk about, like, our pillars of our program, and, you know, we both have our way that we go about it. But at the end of the day, you know, we both know that we are pushing towards the same thing. And, you know, it's easy for me to echo his message and echo the culture he wants to instill in our program, because it's what I believe in. You know, if I wasn't with Mike, I would still believe in those same things of how that are, you know, in the roles that we're in, that are aligned the way we're aligned, then that makes things, well, it makes things a lot smoother. We know that we can, you know, push ideas back and forth off of each other. And typically, you know, we have a pretty good mix of how we make those decisions and move forward, and how we implement things with our program.
So what is kind of your daily routine now that everything's kind of on lockdown? How do you communicate not only with the players, but also with the other coaches on the staff? I just imagine that you're just on your phone all day.
Yeah, I have used my phone more in the past few weeks than I probably have in the past year put together. It's unbelievable. So right now I got an office set up outside here on my, we got like a screened in porch in the back of the house. So that's become home base. Which is a little colder out here this morning than it's been other mornings. But so, you know, it's all about having structure. And that's one of the things, like, not just, you know, our staff or our players, but I think everybody's going through right now is how to restructure your day. And so it all starts with that. You know, I have a, you know, consistent time to go to bed at night. I got a consistent time to wake up in the morning. Typically, you know, whatever I have going on in the morning, I get up out of bed in time to move around a little bit, get a little bit of coffee in my body. Get some reading done. And then depending on the day, you know, Monday mornings we'll have a football all staff meeting all done via Zoom. I didn't know what Zoom was 2 weeks ago, and now it seems to be the focal point of my life.
Right.
But, you know, so we have that Monday staff meeting. I got the rest of the days of the week, I'll meet with my staff, whether that be doing some, current professional development stuff, whether it be talking about our guys. And then also too, you know, working a lot on what the plan is for when we come back, when we get the all clear to resume business as usual and get rolling again. You know, we have a very unique plan in place for a very unique situation none of us have experienced before. meanwhile, all this is going on. My little guy's inside doing kindergarten with mom. So yeah. I try to do my best to structure, structure my day around the kindergarten day. So around 11 o'clock, try to take a break out here, go outside and do a little bit of recess, which has either been playing catch in the backyard or football or basketball in the driveway. And then once lunchtime's over, and then I'm back at it in the afternoons and, work through, just communicate with the guys and just doing what we can do every day to make sure that, we're giving our guys the best chance to come out of the situation successfully.
So, Coach, this is a simple question, but may elicit a more complicated result. How did you decide that you wanted to get into strength and conditioning and coach that and make that your career?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Simple question, probably a long story behind it. Growing up as a kid, grew up in Rapid City, South Dakota. Was always involved with sports. I was an athlete for as long as I can remember. Was always a guy that was tall, long frame. Always felt I was underweight and needed to be stronger and more explosive with those things. So I took the training at a pretty young age, and I knew like if I wasn't doing that, I didn't have a chance to compete. And then, after high school, went to a NAI school first, after a year there, transferred to the University of South Dakota, had a very short injury plagued, unremarkable college football career. And, during that time, as being one of those guys whose story is pretty common that spends probably as much time being hurt as they did actually playing the game, probably spent more time preparing to play the game than I did actually play in the game. And I kind of reached a point somewhere in there. I realized I was probably, as much as I love football, I realized the part I was most passionate about with football was the preparation. I really enjoyed the weight of that being on your shoulders. You're going to get the results of the work that you've done. No one can call that in for you. You got to get out there and do it yourself. I like the self-discipline. Back then, you went home in the summertime. You didn't stay on campus to take part in the summer program. I like the self-discipline where it is on you to get out and do that work and make that happen around a summer job and do those things. Mm-hmm. And so kind of as I wrapped up my college career, I knew that love football, still want to be involved with football, but I knew I wanted to be involved with the preparation side of the game. And at that point, the weight room had done so much for me and realized a lot of my mentors in that game and stuff were guys that were guys that were in the weight room, or the guy that owned the gym that I trained at home in the summer times, people like that. So as I came to the end there, I knew I needed to get some experience. And to be honest, I was completely and totally clueless how to go about it. So I found a private facility in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, volunteered my time there for a summer. And this is right when I had finished playing. Back then they trained a lot of local high school athletes, a lot of kind of in-state, small college athletes that didn't have summer programs would come back to this place to train. I was just so fortunate though, that through complete happenstance and not by my own forethought, that the guy that ran that program, was a guy named Steve Bliss. And Steve Bliss was one of Boyd Epley's original crew at the University of Nebraska that was there when college strength and conditioning was born. He had been the first ever strength coach at Miami, the first ever strength coach at Ohio State. Guy had a very long, decorated career as a pioneer in the field. And I basically, by accident, had that guy enter my life. And guy provided a ton of advice for me and direction for me. Came out of that, knew I needed to go do an internship for school credit. So once again, still being pretty clueless in how to go about this, I sent out two resumes. Was all I sent out. I sent one to the Minnesota Vikings and one to the Kansas City Chiefs. Interviewed for both internships, accepted the one with Minnesota. And then that year when spring break rolled around, instead of heading off to a spring break spot, I went up and lived in an extended stay and worked OTAs, went back, finished the spring semester at school, and then went back up to Minneapolis in the summer. Spent basically a year there. Started off as an internship, became a paid seasonal position, and that was 99-2000, right in there. That was Dennis Green's last season up there. End of that season came around. Obviously, Coach Green was let go, which kind of will scatter a staff, and will especially scatter a staff when you're a guy that's got less than a year in the business and not a whole lot of a network out there behind you. So went back to Sioux Falls that summer. worked in a gym, knew my next step was going to be grad school. Had no idea where. Probably the one good decision I did make, though, rather than choosing a grad school first and then trying to see if I could get involved with the strength program when I got there, I picked a grad school based on the strength program and then handled school after I got there. So I ended up going to UNLV. And the reason I went there was we had quite a few players from the Vikings at that time that spent their offseasons training with a guy named Mark Phillippe at UNLV. I don't know if that name rings a bell for anybody listening, but you remember World's Strongest Man, you know, you used to see on ESPN2 all the time. Mark was one of the best. Yeah, Mark was one of the best U.S. competitors of that era and was the head strength coach at UNLV. So, you know, a lot of those guys told me when I was in Minnesota, like, hey, man, if you want to do this, you got to go learn from Mark. That's the guy you want to be with. You know, I'd heard that echoed to me from enough players. And with having really no college network, that was threw all my eggs in that basket. And went out there, worked for Mark, was going to grad school. At one point out there, I was working in the weight, volunteering in the weight room, taking like 6 grad school credits. Plus, I had 2 jobs on the side trying to make everything, you know, make all ends meet. So a lot of very different odd jobs, odd hours, a lot of sleeping in my truck in between during the day because I'd only be home for a couple hours a day before the next day rolled around. As time went there, became a paid position, an assistant there in the strength program. At that point, I was able to ditch those other jobs, basically pour myself into our athletes all my time there while still going to class. After their 2.5 years, that was John Robinson's final couple seasons there at UNLV, got an opportunity to go work for Joe Kent at Arizona State. Now that name for anybody that follows college strength and conditioning, Joe Big House Kent is a name probably that, I mean, if you don't know that name, you've never been in the business before. guys won, you know, every award you can win, you know, books, lectures, kind of still one of the best guys out there doing it. So I was there with House for a good stretch of time and learned a ton there at Arizona State. Eventually, he left for Louisville. An assistant that I worked with then, Ben Hilgart, got the head job there, worked with Coach Hilgart there for a good stretch of years. Eventually, Dennis Erickson's staff turned over. Todd Grant's staff came in 2012, and that's when I met Coach Norvell.
That all ties together. How did you assemble your assistant staff that's under you? Because these guys got a ton of energy. They're upbeat. They all seem like their personalities are all similar and they complement you well. So I just wanted to know, how did you assemble this staff and what did you look for when you hired them?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when I knew that we were coming here to Florida State, you know, I knew right away, you know, priority number one was assembling the right staff. I knew I was in a unique situation hiring a staff in that my top assistant at Memphis, Noah Franklin, I knew he had a very good shot to get the job there at Memphis, which he did. And I had another assistant on my staff who was getting out of the profession for a little bit. His wife just wrapped up med school, started her specialist residency, and they're getting ready to have a baby in February. So I already knew I was losing him at the end of last season. So, and then out of other guys left, I had Coach Dowdy left, and then I had Coach Tokars, which that name's familiar to you guys because of Tony Tokars and our staff, but his brother was my GA there at Memphis. So basically I talked to Noah when he got that job and I said, listen, I said, I'm going to take Dowdy with me. You know, basically I'm going to keep one and I'm going to let you keep one. Cause I know you need to, you know, assemble your first staff and stuff as well. Mm-hmm. I had a couple names that I had in mind. But really my first mission was, I knew coming here, I knew the type of staff that we assembled here would be very important. I knew the job we had cut out for us, in the weight room and in instilling a program and a culture and those things. And for me, the number one most important thing for me was finding the right personalities and the right types of guys. You know, it wasn't about, you know, so much what guys know. It wasn't about what a guy's kind of area of specialty is. To me, the number one specialty I was looking for was a guy with energy, a guy that could build relationships, and a guy that's wired similar to how Coach and I are wired and how you should treat a guy, how you should coach a guy, how you should uphold a standard. And so I did a lot of talking to people I know in the business. I had a couple, you know, kind of think everybody kind of always has kind of a mental depth chart. They know, like, hey, if I have a spot that comes open, I know depending on what that role is, I got a couple guys I'd like to look at. And a couple of the guys I talked to were on that list already. Starting with Coach Jones, with DJ, I was actually preparing to hire him at Memphis, to replace Coach Scott. And, kind of midway through that hiring process, I had to give him a call. I said, "Hey man," I said, "I know this is going slow." I said, "There's a lot of moving parts right now." I said, "You got to just hang tight." I said, my plan's still the same that I want to bring you in, but just so you know, I think the geography is going to be changing. So I was able to call him back a couple of days afterwards, say, "Hey, you know, plan's still on. I still want you on the staff, but you're not headed to Memphis. You're headed to Tallahassee." So
what was his reaction there?
He was fired up. He was fired up to be part of it. You know, we had talked a lot in the month or so, kind of leading up to that point. So, you know, he had a pretty good idea of what I wanted on the staff. His boss, he was currently working for, you know, giving him an outstanding recommendation. You know, there's a small business, I was able to talk to, you know, the strength coaches that he played for at the University of Washington and stuff. At that time, the guy that I know pretty well, who's the head strength coach for the Seahawks now. But, so I knew what kind of guy I was getting in DJ. So which was awesome. I was excited to be bringing him on to begin with. Knew from phone conversations that guy was wired the right way. Excited to learn, excited to take it all in. And then a guy with a great background of experience behind him as well. You know, after that, you know, Coach Farniak, you know, I've actually known his family for a long time. He comes from a football family. He's actually, the smallest guy in his family. He's got an older brother that played at Oklahoma, and then his two younger brothers both play in Nebraska now, all offensive linemen. And we recruited his older brother at Arizona State, Coach Thompson did, when he was our O-line coach there. So I've been familiar with his family for quite a while. And the reason is they're from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And being a South Dakota boy myself, there's not a whole lot of us out there. So when you do encounter somebody like that, you tend to remember him. And so Coach Farn played for Coach McKnight at Iowa State, who's the head strength coach at Texas now, who's been a good professional friend of mine for probably a decade plus now. Mm-hmm. And so Farn had been a guy on my radar for quite a while. I'd talked to him before on the phone. He actually, when he was at most recently before he went to Stanford, he was at Louisiana Tech. When he was at La Tech, he came up and visited us at Memphis during their week off, spent some time with us, just observing, learning, hanging out and stuff. So he's a guy who had a really good feel for. I knew from Coach McKnight, I knew what kind of guy I was going to get. I knew I was going to get a guy that was intense, a guy that was fired up, also a guy that was very polished in the world of college athletics and training. And then also just being from a football family and having played the game at the level we played at, you know, I knew that was a guy that was going to fit in really, really well with our philosophy here. And then finally, Coach Coleman, you know, Coach Coleman was a guy who, they just, at that point, they hadn't been let go at Ole Miss, but it was trending that way. And I knew who Lanier was before that, but we had never met. I had one of my close professional friends reach out, really, really spoke highly of that guy, which is impressive because the guy that called me tends to hate everybody. And that guy absolutely adores Lanier Coleman. And so I was like, all right, if Crosby's saying positive things about this guy, this is one I got to check out. And then, you know, so I reached out to him. We had a really good phone conversation. We met the day after that, kind of had kind of a very informal interview. It's just a chance really just to meet and feel out personality type and those kinds of things. And in the course of a couple of days of me kind of looking into Lanier, I came across three or four of the people in the business who unsolicited that name had come up and all just spoke extremely high of what kind of coach he is, how good he is on the floor and how good of a human being he is. And I mean, the list of positive boxes is pretty endless. So I knew at that point, I said, okay, man, this is my guy. Was able to extend him an offer. He jumped on board and this all had to happen quick, you know, cause we were on site at the Cotton Bowl and I was here about 12 hours in Tallahassee after the Cotton Bowl ended with all the staff showing up here on January 2nd. So it all went basically the story takes about as long to tell as it did in real time. We had to go
no,
once we all hit the ground here, like, you know, staff gelled very quick. And I think that's just because of the personality types.
Yeah.
And it's been an unbelievable fit.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. And I wanted to ask you about it because I don't think people, I think some people, you know, there's strength and conditioning nerds out there that get it, but I don't think a lot of people understand how much thought goes into just bringing in your assistant coaching staff, let alone the thought that you put into, you know, helping these players. You got a whole staff that does the same and is walking side by side with you throughout the process. I also wanted to ask you about your beard. You got a strong beard game. Is that a staple? I mean, is it something that you shave and you grow back for certain times? What is it? Tell me about it.
I noticed the fan base was very disappointed when I showed up relatively clean shaven after the end of the season picture that they posted originally. The beard has always been there in one form or another. There might be a couple times a year where I get the clippers out and tame it back down a little bit, but really there's no real grand thought process behind where that thing goes.
Yeah, I didn't know, but, you know, you had like a playoff beard.
No, trust me, it's not nearly that thought out.
All right, good to know.
So Coach, understanding that these aren't normal times and it hasn't been like a traditional start at a new program, I'm curious to get your thoughts on what you've learned about your players, the guys you're working with, both from working with them closely during the winter times and then maybe the way you've been able to communicate with the group of players in the past couple of weeks. Like, what have you, generally speaking, learned about this group of guys you're now coaching?
I'll tell you what. So we were here. We basically had, for the time we started on, at the end of that first week in January till the time that we were, cut loose going into spring break. We basically had, 10 and a half, 11 weeks with them. Really, really early on, the best thing about this group, I could tell very early on how eager these guys were to be better. And that was exciting. On in the program, they were open to being coached. And that was the biggest thing. We came in, and I know Coach has said it his way too, but kind of basically told those guys, like, I understand you don't know us, we don't know you, and right now there's probably zero trust between us whatsoever, and rightfully so. I said, just give us a chance every day to show up, work for you, show us that we have an opportunity to be trustworthy, and we'll do the same thing for you guys. I went in, by design with an open slate on all these guys. I didn't look up any stats. I didn't watch any highlights. I didn't watch any game film. I didn't want to know who was a starter, who wasn't a starter. I didn't want to know who's a scholarship guy, who's a walk-on. Develop those relationships and form those opinions on guys based upon what kind of man walks through the door every day, what kind of work ethics there, what kind of character is there, what kind of attitude is there, and start from there. And I knew when spring ball rolled around, we'll see guys fly around, but I was getting an idea of who's who in the hierarchy of playmakers. It's one of the most fun things, man, is we've bonded with these guys pretty quickly. And that's a testament to the kind of character of the kids that were here when we got here. But just their drive, their desire, the how eager those guys are to work and how eager they are to improve. And how important it is to those guys to get this program where this program is supposed to be. I've said it before. There's plenty of places in America it's a cool place to go play college football. It's a neat environment, or there's other appealing factors there. Well, the number one most appealing factor to a place like Florida State is the history and the tradition and the fact that when you go there, you're part of something far, far larger. You're not coming here just for a cool campus or a lifestyle. You're coming here because you want to be part of the all-time greats that this place has produced. You want to be part of DDU. You want to be part of upholding the tradition that's been set here. And that's why all these guys came here. And so now that we're here, it's our job to take that desire those guys have.
Coach, we've talked a lot about some of the hurdles to staying in shape and whatnot, but what about nutrition? How are you guys handling that as a staff and working with the players on their nutrition?
With right now, Marissa Fabish is our registered dietitian on our staff. Her and her staff are kind of in the same mode that myself and my staff are in their area, communicating with guys daily. They have some team-specific social media accounts set up where guys can go and get, right now, a lot of it's information and education. She's helping guys put together budget-friendly grocery lists, and now that you bought these groceries, here's what you can do with those groceries. just, you know, constant checkups on that with some of our, you know, party weight gain and weight loss guys, you know, see if they got a place to weigh in at, you know, so kind of staying up on that. And then starting this week, we're doing, working with getting those guys some delivered meals and things like that. We all do with it, you know, they don't have access to what's on campus, making sure we're still doing our part to get those guys fed and to help them out, try to provide them as best we can. Even though they're not here on campus, we still, you know, they're still our guys, and we still want to make sure that they're taken care of and doing well. And that's a huge part of it.
Yeah, that sounds like a real challenge. Well, Coach, we really appreciate you taking this time this morning to sit down with us and chat. But before I let you go, Trey Rowland would really want me to ask you this. Who is your favorite pro wrestler of all time?
Oh, gee.
Or maybe somebody right. that's influenced your style.
Booker T. Spinneroonie.
I'm trying to think. I grew up on old school, you know, WWF back in the day, you know, Saturday night's main event, you know, was a big deal for me as a kid, you know, hoping we were over to aunt and uncle's house or something, an opportunity to stay up late and watch that, you know. And I mean, I know it's cliche, man, but you can't beat Hulk Hogan walking out wrapped in the American flag, you know, throwing up 21 inch pythons. Like, I mean, that's
it. Vintage Hulk Hogan. Yeah, I get that. Okay. Well, Coach, we thank you and good luck, and we'll be watching you guys in 2020.
Yeah, thanks, Coach.
Yep. I appreciate the time, guys. Anytime.
Oh, and go Noles.
Absolutely. Go Noles.